This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
It's Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Kedrick Golston sitting in for GP. It's time to jump to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome on our pal for his weekly appearance, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebrett Automotive Group, Tebrett Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebrett Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tebrett Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tebrett for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tebrett.com. Jay, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. Did you actually ever, in the years that you coached Kedrick Golston, did you actually ever talk to him? Because he was on the defensive side. Did you guys ever interact?
Yeah, he would say, hey, man, why didn't you tackle that guy? Why didn't y'all tackle that guy?
He's one of my all-time favorite Redskins, man. A great guy, great player, hell of a teammate, great leader. Yes, he's coaching now really good. His kids are doing great. Love it.
Very, very cool. It's cool to have you guys reunite here on our airwaves. It feels like a month ago that Washington played on Christmas Day here, very, very recently, it seems. What did you make of that game just with backups, compete level, and everything? Kind of give me your 30,000-foot view.
Yeah, I thought they came out and played hard, a lot of energy. They were on the field for 90 plays on defense, so that's a very tough deal to overcome. But they're still right there in it till the end. You know, I was a little disappointed to do an onside kick there at the end, but for the most part, I was impressed the way they competed. They were shorthanded, obviously. Dallas didn't have much to play for either, but they were looking to put up some numbers. And Washington, for the most part, stayed close and had a chance to do something at the end.
Jay, we've both been a part of seasons like this, right? Obviously, we know there's a ton to play for, people's careers, contracts, so on and so forth. But as somebody that was a head coach of this franchise, right, like, what is your message to the team, like, behind the scenes, right? Like, you always hear, like, well, we're playing in a meaningless game. Well, we both know nothing is meaningless. Could you please just kind of explain to the fan base, like, kind of the process of, one, like, everybody still being evaluated, two, like, going into the season, even though it's lost, kind of with some momentum so that you can kind of springboard for success in the future?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think you're looking for players to compete under any circumstance. That's what you want on your football team moving forward. you know, every game and every situation is not going to be for a world title. I mean, I want guys that are going to compete no matter what the situation, where it's at, when it's played. That's what you're looking for, the type of player that you can build your team around and moving forward. And you want to surround yourself with players that just love to play football, love to compete, love to prepare. And that's what you're trying to do. And you're trying to continue to preach the same message, whether you're playing for division title or you're playing for your fourth win at Philadelphia. I mean, it's important to a lot of people. I mean, people show up to these games. You know the competition, Ted. I mean, you're playing against another man across from you. You're not going to go in there and lay an egg. You got to compete and want to beat his ass, right? I mean, that's just what I don't want to go out there as a football coach for an NFL team and get my ass whipped by another head coach on another team, especially in Philadelphia. So I'm trying to put my best foot forward. I'm trying to get guys with me that are going to put their best foot forward and compete and go get a win.
Jay, Ja'Cory Kroskey-Merritt, 11 for 105, a couple of touchdowns. So the long 72-yarder, obviously the highlight. Outside of that 10 for 33, again, with the touchdown there, I thought mostly he was bottled up until kind of that big explosive one. But, A, just what you see from him running the football in this run game, and, B, pass game type stuff. No receptions, no targets there, but I thought pass pro, he held up pretty decently. Just kind of give me your thoughts on his game.
Yeah, he's continuing to grow. And this guy only played one game last year as a college player at, where was it, Arizona? Only played one game because of eligibility issues. So this guy is learning and growing every day that we see him play. And I think he's getting better and better. And it takes some time for running back. People don't understand how important, how hard it is for running back, not only finding the run lanes and reading blocks, reading double teams, but also picking up blitzes and learning the pass routes and the pass protections. It's very difficult, especially for a guy who hasn't played a whole lot. So I've been impressed with his progress. And I think that's what Dan Quinn and Adam Peters are looking for. They want guys to see them progress from week one to the final game of the season. Are they getting better? Are they staying the same? Are they getting worse? We want guys that are getting better and continue to grow. And I think he's showing that he has been.
Coach, obviously you did a great job with some young quarterbacks that you had to develop. Like, what's one thing that's like a must when developing a young quarterback, right? And everybody says, well, you want to have a great defense, a good running game. But like from a scheme standpoint, right, like what is a must when you're still – Jaden's a young quarterback. He's had a ton of success, uber talented, right? But what is it something from a head coaching, offensive play caller standpoint that you want to do for a young quarterback to make it easy for him so that he can continue to grow and to develop in the league?
Yeah, that's tough because you always want to work on his fundamentals. That's always a mainstay. That never changes. You're working on his fundamentals and his work ethic. That is what Jaden has. I think moving forward, I think you got to continue to challenge him mentally. There's a lot of things you can do pre-snap that can help him post-snap in his execution. And I think that's something that they need to grow and try to be better at, you know, man's own tips, learn how to pick up blitzes, protection, know where your hots are, understand how to flip protections if need be, really learn how to protect himself so he can get back the pass, set his feet, know where his eyes are, and anticipate throws and just continue to grill him and grill him and grill him and try to get more and more out of him from a mental pre-snap execution standpoint. Because, you know, if you're just calling a play and hoping to God you get the right coverage, if you don't, I mean, you're kind of screwed. So it's very important to try to help that quarterback in his process pre-snap, get him in the right play so he knows where to go and try to attack defenses instead of letting defenses attack him.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. I want to go to around the league with you a little bit here, Jay. Start with Washington's opponent this coming weekend. Eagles won a strange one, 13-12. That was a grown man football game. A lot of pushing, a lot of kind of old school sort of NFC North type football right there. Bills go for two at the end, don't get it. Eagles offensively, especially in the second half, not much doing. But again, you've got to tip your hat to the defense. They're 11-5, but it just doesn't feel like they're the same great team, and yet they're in a pretty damn good spot here with a chance to finish with the second seed in the conference. Give me your kind of state of the union here on the Eagles.
Yeah, I think offensively they've been disappointing all year. Not many big hits from Saquon like they had a year ago. The explosive plays aren't there, and they're not doing a very good job of maintaining drives on third down when they have to throw it. So they've been disappointing a little bit, but still they're in position to get a home playoff game and obviously do some damage on in the playoffs, because they can always win when you have a great defense. Cooper DeJean, and he's playing unbelievable. The front, we already know about the front seven. They're very, very good. So they're going to be able to compete with anybody that they play. It's just a matter of they got to get some explosive plays somehow. They got to get Saquon back to hitting a couple homers throughout the game. They got A.J. Brown going. Devontae, you know, he's a big play waiting to happen. So they'll figure it out, I think. I still think they're probably, in my mind, one of the most dangerous teams coming out of the NFC just because of their defense and their experience.
Coach, from an offensive perspective, right, like you see the ebbs and flows, and we all joke on the defensive side of the ball, like it's like offensive guys are like the Mickey Mouse Club. But all jokes aside, right, like, you know, it seems like 5, 6, 7 years ago, right, everybody wanted to spread each other out, right, and trying to create those one-on-one matchups and isolate it. Now you see a lot more condensed formations, right? Is that something that you picked up on, and what do you think the pros and cons of both, right, where it was spread out, get some speed, where now things are getting back tight, right, a lot more blocking from the receivers kind of really in that front seven. Like, what's your kind of viewpoint of, like, kind of where offenses is now versus where it was maybe 5, 6 years ago?
Yeah, I've always liked condensed formations and bunch formations and that type of thing, just because you can always spread them out with wide departures and all that stuff, but you also have the ability to run the ball in those formations and able to dig out safeties if need be. You know, if you're spread out, safety walks down, it's hard to get them, so you got to motion guys in there, but you're in condensed splits, they can dig out safeties. And you can also help out with the tackles. You can chip defensive ends. Miles Garrett's become non-factors when you're banging them with a tight end or a receiver or whatever it is, trying to get four hands on the really good pass rushers to slow them down. There's a lot of things you can do in the run game with guys going across the formation, guys digging out safeties, inserting into the line of scrimmage. So I've always liked condensed formations and bunch formations. I think they're very beneficial to the offense and give problems to defense, because now they got to figure out how they're going to play man. One guy's got to be pressed. One guy's got to be off. They get in and out it. There's a lot of areas where it gives defenses problems. I think it's a big part of football right now.
Jay, give me your Seattle Seahawks assessment. You know, they were tight with Carolina, then you looked up, and all of a sudden they won by 3 scores again. Just like a vice grip, this team. They're really, really impressive defensively, but what makes them go on offense? It seems like there aren't too many things you'd have to worry about, and yet all of a sudden, you know, you're down by 20-some points.
Well, they have two pretty good backs. I like Walker and Charbonnet. They're very good. Sam Darnold, you know, say what you want about him. He won 15 or 14 games last year at Minnesota. He's in a position to be a number one seed in the NFC this year at Seattle. Smith and Jigba's emerged as one of the top receivers in pro football. So they have a top wideout on the outside. They have two very good backs and a quarterback that's executing pretty good at a high level. You just got to eliminate the turnovers. We all know that. And they're going to be a dangerous football team moving forward. Coach McDonald has always been an outstanding defensive coach. They're very sound in what they do. They have great pressures when need be. And they are good tackling, fundamentally sound team. I mean, they're just a good football team all the way around. But it's going to be up to Sam Darnold as the playoffs start. Can he protect the football in critical situations?
What makes JSN so special to you? It feels like he's, you know, I hate to evoke some of the greatest of all time, but it sort of feels like that, where it doesn't look like he's moving all that quick or fast, but he's got separation on everybody. It's just so smooth. What makes him so good?
Yeah, he runs every route the same. You know, it's hard to gauge his speed because he's right up on you, and he knows how to run routes, get up on defensive back's toes, and from there, he's a nightmare. He can run by you. He can set it down. He can run the basic crosses. They do a good job with his route tree, too. They move him around a little bit. They put him in a slot from time to time, so it's hard to really identify where he's at, where if he's just an outside guy, hey, let's just put a safety over the top and double him. You know, now he's inside. Now he's motioning across. So they do a really good job with him, getting him the ball in unique situations and spaces. So, yeah, he's a great player. He can do it all from anywhere on the field. That's what makes him special.
Coach, kind of going kind of to the off season and thinking about next training camp, right? Like the topic always comes up, right? Should starters play? Should they not play? Kind of what's your philosophy on that? And has it changed as somebody that was an offensive coordinator, head coach, and now kind of seeing it, you know, from another viewpoint? Like, how is the best way to go about developing a football team, you know, at any position, whether it's a defensive lineman, whether it's a quarterback, and the risks that are associated with it?
Yeah, that's the toughest call you have to make as a head coach, you know, especially like week 18 when you're not playing for anything, supposedly. You still want to put your best foot forward. And I think if guys are healthy, they should play. But you also want to take a look at the young guys. Hopefully you've been looking at the young guys throughout the whole season of practice. They're playing scout team. Even though they're doing other teams' stuff, you're still watching them move and break on the football as defensive backs, rush the passer as defensive ends and tackles, protect as offensive linemen, run routes as receiver, and so on and so forth. So you should have a pretty good gauge at your young football team. If guys are deservedly of getting reps in this last game as a young football player, I'd put them in there. But if they're not quite ready, then you still want to put your best team out there to try to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no question about it. But there is a fine line there. You know, I mean, other teams are playing their best players. Dak is still playing. Joe Burrow is still playing. Jamar Chase is still playing. You just hope to goodness that they stay healthy. But you can never predict an injury. But you got to play your best players, in my opinion.
Jay, two winning in games here in the NFL in Week 18. First, Carolina, Tampa. Who you got?
You know, Tampa Bay has been very disappointing the last 4 or 5 weeks. Baker has struggled immensely. You know, Mike Evans has struggled to get separation. Carolina has been a huge roller coaster team. They've looked so good and so bad, so good, so bad. They've been opportunistic on offense, on defense. I mean, they've gotten turnovers. I'm taking Carolina. I just think I'm going to play the more steady defensive football team. I think Tampa's leaking oil on defense or giving up too many big plays. And I think offensively, if Bryce Young can protect the ball, get the ball to Tet McMillan and the strong running game that they have with Rico Dowdle and Hubbard, I think they'll get the win.
And then Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
Man, Tubek, Huntley's playing. It looks like Huntley's playing, but he's played pretty damn good. I'm taking Baltimore. Pittsburgh has nothing at all on the outside that scares you. Nothing at wide receiver. So they can stack up against the run and stop Warren and Gainwell. And I think, you know, and Aaron Rodgers can't run at all. So I think as long as they stop the run and make Aaron Rodgers throw it, they're going to have to throw the ball to Freiermuth and Gainwell out of the backfield is the only weapons that they have. And I think Baltimore gets it done.
Jay, awesome as always, brother. Appreciate your time. Happy holidays to you and Happy New Year.
You got a kid. Good talking to you, man. Happy holidays.
You too, Coach. Have a good one.
There he goes. That is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Lincoln in Chantilly, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. Shop them all at TedBritt.com. About an hour left in the show. Grant and Andy here on The Fan. Kendrick Olsen is sitting in for GP. We touched on this a little bit earlier. I want to circle back to it, Ken. I want to be very clear. I am not firing anybody at this point. Okay, I know it's sports radio. We're built on hot takes. Everyone likes to yell and shout the reactions or whatever, etc. This season to me is bad enough though that I am arguing it's perfectly reasonable to have a discussion. We'll discuss if it's okay to have a discussion about Dan Quinn and the staff next. Grant Danny on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hughes check in motion. Still Purdy with a clean pocket. It's complete. It's Juwan Jennings to the pylon. Touchdown! The Niners take the lead.
Little Sunday Night Foosball with Mike Tirico, who's really, really good at calling football games. Welcome back. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Kendrick Olsen sitting in for Grant Paulson. So that's the San Francisco 49ers highlight call. Yada, yada, yada. Here's the point that I'm trying to make when it comes to the 49ers. They're really good. I understand that they're really good. I understand they've had years to build their franchise. I understand they've had a lot of continuity. They've had the same head coach in place. They've had the same general manager, et cetera, in place for a while. The point, though, that I would like to make to everybody is it's hard not to see them win last night in primetime, have a chance now at the one seed overall in the NFC, and you go through their injuries. They're significant IR injuries. Everybody from Fred Warner to Nick Bosa, guys that they're paying $20 million against the cap to, who aren't available for them, haven't been pretty much all season long. Then you go down the list of guys that they were missing last night but have missed throughout the season. Brock Purdy missed a huge chunk of time. I think he's played eight games for them. Started eight games, was able to play those, missed a bunch of time. George Kittle has missed six-plus games. They've been without the services of Brandon Ayuk, who's their equivalent of Terry McLaurin. Now, I'd rather have Terry. He's a much better dude. He's not going to cause as many problems as Brandon Ayuk. But still, Brandon Ayuk was their version of that, a guy that has broken out, that they paid, that they're dedicated to. They're missing $60, $70, $80 million against their cap for pretty much the entire season. And then the weeks kind of, week-to-week type injuries, where they've been without the services of Ricky Pearsall, someone they took very high in the draft a couple years ago. They have been beset by injuries just like Washington has. I understand Christian McCaffrey was available the whole time. He's north of 2,000 scrimmage yards. He's special. My point isn't to say, Washington should be 12-4, and I won't accept anything less. I get you're not going to be as good. I understand, Ked. I'll tag you in here in a second. My frustration is with the pulse, with kind of the narrative that injuries, and you shrug your shoulders like that's the only explanation. There were a lot of guys, this has been the drum that I've beat, and it really was crystallized last night as San Francisco was winning this thriller against Chicago. There are a lot of guys that were the plan, that they were counting on, who weren't hurt for most of the season, who didn't play particularly well. And the build wasn't enough. I understand it's not going to be the same as having being able to layer talent like you want over the course of years and what they inherited. It's an uphill climb. But there's no way you can convince me that you just go, injuries, so you get to be 4-12, maybe even 4-13 if you lose to the Eagles this weekend.
If we're going to be fair, right, talking about the injuries the 49ers have versus what the Commanders have, the 49ers have had some years where, right, Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, they're banged up, and yes, they are 4-12, right?
Absolutely.
They're still mortal, right? They still put their pants on one leg at a time like the rest of us. That being said, even with Purdy going down, because, you know, they're good defensively, right? Robert Saleh, he's back, right? He's coordinated championship, NFC championship type defenses, right? The one thing that stands out to me that the difference between the two bunches are, and I'm not talking about you, because injuries are injuries, and that's the National Football League, and we've heard that, and people have to be able to go out there, and players got to make plays, and coaches got to put them in position to make plays, but they've always gotten the production out of that quarterback room. Whether it was Purdy, whether it was Mac, right? Like that guy, the signal caller, right? The shot caller has always produced, right? And then when you have a back, you know, all-purpose yards around with Christian McCaffrey, right? You're able to mask a lot of some of the other inefficiencies, and you couple that with a guy who, it doesn't matter if he's got John Beck, Rex Grossman, whoever it is, right? He produces offensive numbers.
This is all correct. And that's kind of why I say it's not apples to apples. I will never sit there and tell you with everything that's happened with the easier schedule that San Francisco has had than Washington that there's any way that Washington should be 12-4, like with all the injuries and things that they've had. It is absolutely a factor, totally fair. And your other point is very good that they've had years where it's been too much and they were 6-11 last year. In 2020 they were 6-10. Now surrounded by 12-5, 13-4, 12-4, 10-7, 13-3. Conference championship appearances, two Super Bowl appearances in there, et cetera, where they've got a pretty good track record kind of surrounding it. I understand they haven't, it's not apples to apples. But what I keep coming back to is if you give this group here in Washington a pass by simply saying, you know, what he's supposed to do? A guy's got hurt. Their version of guys getting hurt is, you know, Trent Williams, all pro, is missing some time. Our version is Dietrich Wise. And nothing wrong with Dietrich Wise. It's not his fault it's Dietrich Wise. He's a good player. But they're paying him $3 million to be a run stuffer. And once he's gone, it's now a bridge too far. When Nick Bosa can't play, that's an all-pro a couple years ago, consistent pro bowler, a 20-plus million year hit against the cap that he signed a handful of years ago. That guy hadn't been available all year long. Washington's version of that is a guy that was a win for them, and Dorrance Armstrong, who they plucked from Dallas, who could do a little bit more than he was being asked to do. Was a part-time player, was a situational guy. They elevated him to kind of full-time starter, had a renaissance in Washington, and he was awesome. I'm not discrediting Dorrance Armstrong. But my point is, if the whole operation hinges, it sounds like I'm beating these guys up, and I don't mean to. If the whole operation hinges on Dietrich Wise, then your operation's broken. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you can't survive without a run-stuffing, stay-at-home defensive end that's going to set the edge, then you weren't going to survive. That's kind of my point. So this is part coaching. This is part Peters. This is part a million different factors. Some blame can be cast upon Rivera and the Martys for leaving the cupboard pretty bare. But there was an approach here. There was a certainty that I think there was a swing and miss when it came to this build to be prepared for any contingency beyond a couple of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, you going into this season, I can pretty much say without talking to anybody, confident that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters did not think the season would go this way.
And I didn't either, for the record.
And nobody did. Mm-hmm. Nobody did. I mean, the stark difference between this time last year to where we're at now is you couldn't be on polar opposites, right? Just from a fan base, from where the football team is. And you're 100% correct. I hate to say it. No, it doesn't make good for radio, but you cannot just blame this on injuries because everybody has injuries. And the people that you do bring in to replace those players should be capable of doing what you were asking those other players to do because you're not having to replace all pro type players. Like when you talk about a Nick Bosa, a Trent Williams, those type. Not losing Jaden, which I do believe was the heartbeat of this football team.
Yeah, that's massive.
I think that did something to the whole team because when he was out there, there was never a time last year, and even this year, if I'm being honest, where you would say, oh, we're out of this football game because you believed in him, you believed in the offense and how he could score really quickly, right? And so some of your deficiencies didn't stand out as much because you were winning football games. And when a play was made, we were able to come back here during the week and say, oh, that play is what helped us win the football game. Whereas as now, some of those same plays are happening, but there's other plays that are negating them and then they're losing football games, right? And so what Jaden meant to this football team, franchise quarterback, electric, right, could throw the deep ball, could run, right? He's one of the better athletes in the National Football League, right? Not having him, I think, really changed the dynamic of this football team because it was so Jaden-focused, which it should have been, right? Yeah. He did everything he was supposed to do, right? He was the high draft pick, Heisman Trophy winner, is working his tail off, right? He was endorsed by Bobby Wagner, which is a future Hall of Famer, right? And so that group really worked well together, and for whatever reason this year, that chemistry has been off and those plays have not been made. So you can't blame it on injuries because everybody deals with injuries. It's the National Football League.
And again, I'm arguing against myself here, but they suffered more than the average team. I mean, there's data points that support that, right? They had more man games missed from starters than nearly anybody, et cetera. I'm not sitting here telling you that their record should be reversed. I'm saying you can't have a month where you lose by 21 points a game in this league. That cannot happen. And there's more to it than just saying guys are hurt. So, 800-636-1067 is the phone number. What do you say to people who are telling you it's just injuries? And you want to tell me and Kedrick Olsen that it's just injuries. You're welcome to do that. Explain to us why we're wrong. 800-636-1067. I hear that narrative a ton, that the injuries, and then we kind of move on to the next thing. There's way more to it than that for me. And San Francisco is kind of my counterpoint, where they're beat up, they're missing stars, they missed a bunch of guys for a huge chunk of time, just like Washington did, and they are playing for the one seed. I'm not saying Washington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
They should be playing for the one seed. I'm saying they should have had some meaningful games past November 1st. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. You heard that Bill highlight. That means it's Bill time. We do it every week. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. That's not one. One of two touchdowns for our pal, Bill. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Zabe in for GP. I'm Danny Ruye. Let's jump right now. This minute to the guest hotline, the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV for our weekly spot with Bill. Bill, what's up, buddy? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. How you feeling?
What's going on? How you doing?
We're great, man. So walk us through that first touchdown you scored. The second one was really fun. But that first touchdown you scored, it felt like they were doing a really good job in the run game and in run defense. And that was just kind of a, I see the goal line and I'm going. We're going to go through a bunch of contact. Walk me through that play.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was tough, like, to start. You know, you're going to get a couple yards here and there. But, I mean, I seen a crease, and I was like, okay, like somebody, we need to make a play, and we really got to score. So I was like, okay, I'm really trying to get in there. So, I mean, it was cool.
It was a great one. And then we'll get to the highlight here in a second. But one other thing I noticed, Bill, in this one from you, I feel like you were asked to do a lot in pass pro. I saw you picking up a lot of blitzes, a lot of rushers. Just where is that in terms of you know, how comfortable you are, kind of where you're at in your development there? It looked pretty darn good to me, but I'm just a pudgy idiot watching football at home.
Yeah, it's just trying to just be the best in everything I can be, and I mean I felt comfortable just doing it. So I mean that was something that I had on my list that I want to be better at during games. I mean, you know, you can run, but you know, you got to be great in all the other things. So it was good to go out there and like just execute without having the ball in my hand.
All right, I got some running back 101s for you. All right, Bill. The first one is the Jumbotron rear view mirror trick. Have you ever used it before? Because last night, when Bijan was going for his home run, he was looking over his left shoulder, and after the game, he told Van Pelt, he's like, well, it's because the Jumbotron here is inside this circle. Yeah. He's like, I didn't have the Jumbotron rear view. Have you used it, and is it hard or easy to get accustomed to?
I mean, I only think I used that in college maybe once.
Okay.
But, I think that's kind of like, it just got to catch your eye, and then you just end up looking up. But I only used that one once in college. And it really helped, though. Like, you get to see what kind of angle they got. And, I mean, it's just next level stuff. Like, only a few people can do that.
I mean, bottom line is, when you're out in the clear, just run. Run.
That's the best practice.
I don't even try to look back. I try to just look at the end zone.
Okay, what happens when you forget? This is also a running back 101 question. You forget the snap count. You're like, damn it, forgot. Now I'm sitting back here behind the quarterback. Everyone's watching me. What do I do?
All right, so in that situation, you might have to be a little bit slow when everybody moves if you don't know it.
So you don't try to jog your memory. You don't try to remember it. You accept the fact, I forgot. Yeah. We're going to be a little slow off the ball. I hope the film doesn't show it.
Yeah, you just got to be a little slow in that situation.
I'm just being patient. I'm a patient running back. That's how I operate. Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara with us here on G&D, a.k.a. Bill, the people's running back. All right, let's go to the 72-yarder. That was a thing of beauty. Walk me through the play call. Walk me through what you saw, and then when did you know this might be a house call?
It was an outside zone play to the right, and we ended up calling it. And I mean, I got beautiful blocks by everybody that played. And like once I seen daylight, I was like, okay, like this finally my chance. I can get an open field, and I was like, I'm not getting tackled. And it was good just to be able to take it all the way to the house for 72 yards.
As you break through right there, because I think you have to break a tackle or two if memory serves, right? As you're going through, when does it go from this is a nice run to, oh my God, I'm going? Like 70 yards is a long way. I'd be really tired, but you're a professional athlete. When does it go from, oh, this is fun, nice play, good for me, to
are we there yet?
To this is a highlight. Like when do you know on a run like that?
Oh, I kind of knew once I got past the second level and I seen nobody in front of me or I didn't have to try to make a safety miss. I was like, okay, like the end zone is far, but you can't get caught. So like that was the main thing going to my head. Like just run fast. Like you are already there. You don't got to worry about making nobody miss. And just run.
I love that. Did you hear from fantasy football champions and fans who said that you won them something?
I guarantee.
Like I guarantee you, sure. Your own rosters, man. Did you hear from folks?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's all people be talking about is fantasy football.
You were the talk of August. You know that, right? Everyone's like, sure. Oh, look, we got a sleeper here. This guy Bill in Washington. Looking like he's going to get a lot of carries. And, you know, it's tough to tell once the season begins how the carries are going to sort out. But for those that stuck with you, they were rewarded in the end.
Yeah, it was good to be able to reward the people who end up drafting me and getting me in fantasy. So it felt good.
All right, so Sunday is a meaningless game, according to us couch dwellers, which is, I'm sure, laughable to you as an NFL player and as a athlete. Tell me how you prepare for a quote-unquote meaningless game, so to speak. And have you played in many of these games in which you're like, yeah, technically this is not for much?
I mean, I feel like it's an NFL game for me. I get a chance to go out there. I know people going to be watching, still getting evaluated. So, I mean, I'm going to treat it like any other week, just want to finish strong. That's the main thing. So, I mean, I'm definitely ready for this game. I get another chance to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, how strange is it? You played these guys 2 weeks ago. The NFL's doing this new thing
with
the schedules.
Yeah, that's definitely strange.
Yeah. What's that like? I mean, you just saw these guys.
I definitely didn't. I never seen that like it until this year. But, I mean, it's just, okay, you know you played them a couple of days ago, and, like, you know how they play, and you know what you did wrong. So I think it's just that taking that approach to the game and just going out there and trying to execute.
Do you feel like, and it's so hard to tell, obviously, the Eagles are really good. They're 11-5. That defense is awesome. Mm-hmm. The challenges that they brought, do you feel like, okay, we know what they're going to do? Or is this the kind of defense where you go, they could do something totally different simply just based on what they saw from us? Like, how do you prepare knowing that you just saw them a couple of weeks ago in terms of what they might do to you guys?
I mean, we just got to we know the players that they got. They can do different things. Like, all of them can make plays. And we just got to go out there and execute and just try to play our best football. So.
How is their – well, you wouldn't know. You haven't played there yet. Their field is interesting. It's mm-hmm. natural grass, but it's got some of the synthetic woven into it. It's kind of like Green Bay's. You've played in Green Bay. How do you go about figuring out what you're running on when you're playing somewhere for the first time? Like, how much can you test in warm-ups or take the advice of other guys to say, you know what, you need this size cleats or whatever?
Yeah, it's basically just like just seeing how you feel out there pregame.
So
like,
it's a feel thing.
Like you making full speed cuts and like seeing, do I need longer spikes or mm-hmm. like can I just play with my regular shoes? So it's basically just you just seeing how you feel out there pregame.
How many sets of shoes do you have?
I try to bring at least three.
At least three.
Three is too many. Is too many, but I got it. Well, it'll be like three of them in my locker.
Well, you say it's too many, but you got three. So what is it?
it's just like I might want to switch it up. Like,
right.
It depends on what we wear or like whichever cleat fit the best.
All right, so you're admitting it's too many, but you're a shoe diva, which is cool, which is fine. I'm with you on that. So you got three. So you got what? The turf nubs, quarter inch, and then what after that?
Now, all of them be the regular size. Okay. It just be for different looks.
Oh,
it's
really?
About looks.
Yeah, so but you can go to a trainer and be like, I need bigger studs, and they'll just
Okay, all right. Yeah, so what are the heights on the cleats? Are they quarter inch, eighth inch, half inch? What do we got?
I think quarter inch.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I usually only play in one type of spikes.
All right.
All right, Bill. So this is the important question that everybody always asks us about each and every week. And this is kind of where, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road here for you. I know you guys dropped a close game, the Dallas one-score game, but you had over 100 yards and two touchdowns. What was mm-hmm. Cousins' reaction to you when you guys got home?
He was happy. It was Christmas, so he kind of gave me a pass. He was just, you know.
did he get Christmas presents? What did he get?
He got some treats. He got what else did he get? He got treats and he got a couple of toys.
There you go.
Love it.
Yeah.
Bill, you are the best, dude. Enjoy this last week. Happy New Year to you and everything. It's been a pleasure having you on all season long, man. Let's do it again next week mm-hmm. after hopefully you guys beat the Eagles on Sunday.
Beat these savages. We
got you.
Yeah, they're actually playing for something. And yeah,
be nice to ruin that.
There is a great disdain for these green pukes in this area, as I'm sure you're learning, and as I'm sure you learned the first time you hooked up with these punks. So I called them punks, by the way.
Yeah,
Bill did not call
it. Bill,
that's not
it.
Me. Let that be noted. I'm just saying right there. All right, have a good game and stay healthy, my
friend.
Talk to
you next week, bud.
All right, guys, and happy New Year.
See you, Bill. Happy New Year to you. There he goes. That is Jacory Kroskimerick, the people's running back. Here is the summary of Tom Lavero's column from his Twitter account. Shout out JP Finley. His tweet was, "The Commanders party is over. A fractured fan base hates your stadium, your name, and now, with an unfortunately familiar lost season, your product. Happy holidays." Old Tommy, a little bit of, there was blood on the pen from the column.
Yeah, they hate the name. They hate the stadium. It's terrible.
And he's right about it on all counts, by the way.
I love Tommy, worked with him for many a year. Nobody digs into ownership in this town of sports franchises quite like Tom. He has been at war with all of them.
Everybody, at least once, right?
Or, you know, over some of the most incredible things. Like, he was going full-blown World War III with Ted over lack of a parking pass at Wizards games. And I'm just like, really, Tom? And, you know, he had his reasons for it. He's not wrong in this column. He hits on all the right notes. Now, I know I'm speaking to a guy mm-hmm. like you who hates this new
name. Yeah, I've been very open about that.
Thank you for that, mm-hmm. by the way. I hate it as well. I also think that the current half rebrand and the potential of the Super Bowl era jerseys becoming a more regular kit next year. I'm in the minority. I think that's a mistake. I don't like it. I think that if you're going to go in a direction, go in that direction. This swimming back and trying to borrow a little bit from the past, and it's almost like it was, but it's not.
Right.
You can't get over the taco holder on the helmet with the satin finish helmet that doesn't match the actual burgundy of your throwbacks. It's an aesthetic mess, if you ask me. But that's one man's opinion who still yearns and pines for the old name and the old logo, which I've been told angrily is never coming back. And I say, really? You sure? Never? I mean, stranger things have happened. I just don't know if the owners really wanted to commit the kind of PR capital to go, you know what?
I don't think they do.
But I'm just play it out.
Right.
Let's say they were like, you know what? Times have changed. It's coming back. What are you going to do about it? What would the league do about it? What would sponsors do about it? How much would the media want to keep up for that? Oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing it. You know, Mike Wise is no longer on planet Earth or in the media in this town to take this up as his cause celeb. He had a big position, columnist for the Washington Post, and was on this station. And was on our station at times as well. And he was huge on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So he gone. Times have changed. What would happen? Would the league just shut it down? Would they just say, no, you can't? Would the sponsors flee?
I think so.
Would the media lose their minds?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then it's not coming back.
I think all three of those.
Okay.
The triumphant there, the Triforce.
So then, I'm sorry to say, but you better lead into the new reality. You better lean into the name and the new logo, and these half throwbacks are not doing anyone any good.
So last year, we talked about this to a degree, and you could weigh in as well before we get to kind of the meat and potatoes of Lavera's column and where I want to get into with it. Their success closed the door in a lot of ways. If Jaden Daniels doesn't
have
the number,
swim back to the old?
Well, not to the old, but something else.
Okay.
So people like me, I am not a Redskins or nothing person. What I'd prefer is irrelevant, just sort of saying in general.
For the record, what names finished second and third on the podium to Commanders?
Yeah, it wasn't Sea Dogs like with the stupid Wizards.
That's historically one of the dumbest things ever. But do we know if there was a runner-up or a third-place finisher?
They were so vague about this with their entire saga. So remember, the name that was the leader in the clubhouse that everybody seemed to be getting, not everybody, but a huge percentage of people were excited about, if it was Red Wolves.
Yeah.
They actually stopped.
Smoot was big on that.
Well, they actually stopped the entire
process
to go, the Timberwolves are mean. It might cost some money. And that, to me, gave away that this was A, predetermined,
yeah.
B, a farce, and C, just another Snyder poo in the punch bowl.
I thought there was another team that was also going to block. Like, was Warriors considered seriously?
I think that was on one of the lists. Yeah,
okay.
But there was there was some saying, hey, that may not work. But Red Wolves versus Timberwolves, that's not the same thing. I understand there's wolves involved in both, but something I feel like we're, as an NFL team with all the billions, we could probably make that happen if we wanted to. There was no desire to do so. They were going to do this. We're going to hide behind sort of something generally military related so no one can make fun of us. And we want all the associations without any of the work. And this was just the laziest, stupidest thing. And everybody that's responsible for it has moved on and worked somewhere else.
That rollout that morning on the Today Show was so bad.
What's up, Craig Melvin? Hey,
it
buddy.
Was so cringe.
We are the Commanders.
Just horrendous. And I like Doug Williams a lot. Put Doug in a bad spot there.
It really did.
Poor John Allen just sitting there for some reason also.
I think,
sleep on that.
So I think it's also going to be dangerous to then try to swim to a new rebrand lily pad of, okay, forget Commanders. We're now the Red Hawks.
Or something.
Or the Red Tails.
And that ship, I think, sailed last year when...
Because they had success.
A couple different times. So Harris wasn't always saying Commanders. He wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't.
He sort
so
of,
you guys were keen on listening, going, did he say
And he
it?
Wasn't wearing did that Block W it? Gear all the time. It was always something else, you know? But eventually, at the end of the year, when they go 12-5, NFC title game, he's now going, well, that actually, the name means something now. We have the Commander tag on people, and that's something we look for, is the Commander tag. And people like me throw up in our mouths, but yeah. I think that was the gavel. That was the slam. That was the end of it.
They are the, I believe they're the lowest selling merchandise team in the league. I think I saw a list of that.
I haven't seen that. So if you find that, let me know.
Let me look it up. I think it is.
At one point, Jaden Daniels was selling like hotcakes. That black Commanders Jaden Daniels jersey was doing very well.
Of course, yeah.
And again, to me, all
I just think, you know, overall quarter zips, hats, the other paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. It cannot be out of the bottom five. It's got to be down there. It's just, I don't see a lot of people with it just around town or in
so
the stands.
I do now.
You're seeing it. More and more?
I see more and more.
Well, that's good.
Because is it? I mean, it is what it is. I think people are begrudgingly going, all right, I guess. Right? I what else can I do?
If Dad's gone and he's never coming back, you should stop sitting by the front door waiting for that doorbell to ring. And for him to walk back in. They just need to press ahead. You know, we talked a lot about the Ravens today. I mean, they, of course, would have loved to have been the Colts again. But they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, you know, they're now the big, dumb, purple, black birds up there.
They are what they are. Yeah. But to what Lavero wrote.
So Lavero makes a good point about both the rebrand, the state of the franchise, the stadium that's going to be a long way away. And at the end of his column, I'm like, all right, love you. So what are you saying? Like, what did you get from the column at the end of it? Other than just, yes, acknowledged. The name is not that popular. The stadium is going to be a long way away. And?
Here's my summary. So he says, I'll read a couple passages here. What may have gotten lost in all the attention of a Christmas Day 30-23 loss to the Dallas Cowboys at Northwest Stadium was that it was the Washington Commanders Fan Appreciation Day. There were holiday decorations, entertainment, and a meet and greet with the big man himself, Santa Claus. We're a long way away from former Redskins owner George Preston Marshall, used to have Santa arrive in a helicopter at midfield at Griffith Stadium during halftime. The basic gist is, you wouldn't have known it was Fan Appreciation Day. The owners didn't do anything wrong in that regard, because it was filled with Cowboy fans. Everybody's disgusted. Everybody's pissed off. It's acknowledging, look over there, there's an elephant in the room. And he said the following. The party's over. The anger over the lost name remains raw. A fractured fan base hates your stadium, your name, and now, with an unfortunately familiar lost season, your product. Happy holidays. Basically, this was the risk you had when you bought this thing for an unbelievable amount of money. Good luck climbing out of it. Because another part of the column mentions to me, those are all factual statements.
Right, but does Lovey prescribe what he thinks is the best course of action in his column? I didn't see it.
No, not here. I'm the fire spotter. I'm just pointing at the fire. Someone should come in and do something about that. Anyway, you guys have a good one. And I'm not faulting them for that.
But they're like the things with the Cowboy fans invading. You're not going to fix that anytime soon, if ever. Cowboy fans are indigenous to our area. And that's because of the team's long ago, very racist policy of being the last team to integrate in the NFL.
George Preston Marshall, yeah.
Right. And so therefore that allowed Cowboy fans, the dirty stinking Blue Stars, as the team in the 70s to metastasize throughout our area. And I know many Cowboy fans. I keep my friends close and my Cowboy frenemies even closer, Danny.
So to add to this.
So you're never going to prevent them from invading, especially when your team is not good.
Totally. You can never do 100%, but you can try.
And you're never going to fix that disfigured hulk of a rusting stadium out there. Whereas I look at the carved out upper deck, I just shake my head thinking, as bad as they were under Snyder in the aughts, they sold all those seats. All of the seats that are now gone.
The extra layer to it is, and he points this out, in case you forgot, many Commanders fans paid an average of 11% more for this 4-12 debacle of the season, and they're going to pay more next season, nearly 10%.
Rent's
more.
Too damn high. Prices going up.
To put the lipstick on the pig and then eventually move into it to new and better digs, which we're all looking forward to.
Yes.
So the point is, the state of the state ain't great. We all know that football-wise, we're sort of in the fog of that.
Right.
My question for you guys at 800-636-1067, we'll tackle this next before Bill comes on at 5. Give me your state of the ownership. How are we feeling about ownership at this point? Last year, it was like...
honeymoon.
Yeah, let me throw petals at your feet like at the Prince of Zamunda so you can walk around. Now, disaster of a season, you got charged more. How much better are things? Is the honeymoon over? Is the bloom off the rose?
We already know that Joe Witt not likely to return. When you take a guy's play calling, offense or defense, that's pretty much the end. So Dan Quinn's been calling the defense. I've been asking people that have joined me the last couple of weeks for various shows what they want to see done when there is a new defensive coordinator hired, whether it's bring somebody in like Al Harris, first-time defensive coordinator, worked with DQ in Dallas, familiar, would run a similar system, right? Understands what DQ likes to do. Or would you just like someone to come in that is their own, like Steve Spagnuolo type, right? Like that guy that runs his defense. You don't bother him.
It's a big fella at Michigan. The Wolverines, they just made a switch. He was with Baltimore.
Wink Martindale.
I really don't want anybody that's been involved with them in the past, to be honest with you.
Completely agree.
As a matter of fact, and this is where I don't know the relationship with the ownership and what they have. I don't know if it's just a GP thing. I don't think anybody should have free run and free reign of anybody's program that they don't own. In other words, if you don't have any dollars in the program, you can never be in control of it. That's my philosophy. So I'm going to step to you on every area and say, how are you going to fix the current situation that we have? Yeah. I'm not infringing upon your ability to do your job, but I'm not going to have you lower my stock or anything with me not understanding what your plan is. I don't give a damn about your relationships with people in your past. It's a result-based business. And the results that you just put forth for me are unacceptable, period. What are you going to do about it? And that's what I want to know. The 2026 for me is I've got questions. I need answers for it. Otherwise, what's going to stop this from happening again next season?
One thing for me that if you want to hop in, feel free, 800-636-1067. One of the things that frustrates me about this is I don't know that the personnel was great this year. I don't think the
Yes, you do.
I don't think the pass rushers were good enough.
Yes, you do know. They were terrible.
Yeah, okay, let me put it that way.
Yeah.
The personnel was not good enough this year.
No, not at all. Handpicked, let's preface this. The people that they selected and then they trained failed.
Correct. Personnel was not good enough. Up front, not good enough. Secondary, not good enough. Linebackers, not good enough. But I also don't think the scheme is effective in the modern NFL enough to be what this team should be running. Because one of the knocks on this team and this scheme in particular with Dan Quinn is, oh, well, the Shanahan-style offense eats his lunch. Half the teams in the NFL run that.
All the good ones do.
Yeah, I mean, like, so am I just supposed to be like, well, we're facing one of those Shanahan disciples. Looks like we're screwed this week. People forget. I remember I was working with our guy Max Ames. And
Mad
it was the
Max.
Day after
Big
that Packers mm-hmm. and Cowboys playoff game where the Packers just put a whooping on the Cowboys defense. Mm-hmm. And I said,
the playoff game.
I told Max because
Maximilian.
He said he wanted Dan Quinn. I said, well, you can mark that guy off the list. They're not going to bring that guy in after that performance.
I'm with you.
What do you know? That guy is now the head coach here.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stop a certain scheme, if you can't stop a certain, then what the heck are we doing? It's not like it's something that, we were talking about this before the show. It's not like the Shanahans are running the most exotic thing you've ever seen. Yeah, they have great designs and they do a great job, but their principles are largely the same. Run the ball, play action pass. What do you mean you can't stop that? That's the most basic football stuff in the world. From a defensive standpoint, you run the ball and play action off of it. Well, duh. Right? Like, they teach you that when you're five, when you're just learning about football. You run the ball so you can play action. You got to figure out how to stop it. If you can't stop it, and your personnel sucks, because to me, a lot of people look at this year and they go, oh, injuries. That's a big reason why. A fully healthy team this year, Doc.
Have you seen the Niners? Have you followed the Niners this year? See, this is what you have to do to people. I don't blame people for not knowing. It's not their profession. This is casual for them. This is a hobby. So I'm not offended by any of it. The 49ers are all we should ever be talking about. They've had more injuries than most. And they spit on it and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a spit on it, let's keep moving forward mindset, then you're not going to be successful in pro sports. Because nobody gives a damn about your state of mind or your injury situation. That's a you problem.
Correct.
You get 53-man roster. You get to pick it. And you get to train it. That's on you. So what you're saying is that your backups are awful. Well, who picked them and who trained them? If our military had the effects that some of these coaches get away with, we'd be speaking other languages.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
We'd be in some serious
trouble.
Yeah,
we'd be speaking other languages. I'm so sick of hearing people who have the autonomy and the full authority to do whatever the hell they want to do with their team and then bitch about it when it don't work.
Yeah. I just don't think that while injuries played a role, I can't deny that. People are acting like if you took a pie chart of this, Doc, that it was 50, 60, 70%. No, it's not.
B. Mitchell Finley pie, blame. They call it the blame.
Yeah, the blame pie.
Blame pie.
To me, it's like at most 25%. This is the exercise that I was talking about last night. Take a fully healthy team. Assume you're playing in Darius's Madden League and you turned off the injuries. What does this Commanders team
finish? Has Darius ever won that league?
He has. He's won it a couple of times.
Okay.
He did quit doing it though. I think he's bringing it back next year. That's what the scuttlebutt is around town is he's going to bring it back next year. But the thing is, if you were to have no injuries this year, I still think they're at best a 7-win football team because busting a coverage has nothing to do with an injury. Not being able to tackle has nothing to do with an injury.
We tackle? Okay, I didn't know we did. No, I'm just saying. I didn't know we did. Okay.
Not being able to cover guys. I understand that you might be better. But the problem that you bring up with this, Doc, too, I don't think there's a large difference between the starters and the backups in terms of skill ability.
I agree.
I just don't think so. And if you want to say it's coverage, well, they were largely healthy on the back end for the majority of the year, and they were still terrible. They weren't getting a pass rush when they were healthy. They're still not getting a pass rush. They won't get a pass rush as long as this group is together. They just don't get one.
Right.
So I don't understand how you can blame injuries. And that, to me, is where I look at Dan Quinn and his scheme and say, I got to try something else.
Yeah. He's lucky. He's got a nice ownership group. They're really nice people.
Well, and this brings up the bigger question on it, Doc. Because if I'm saying I want a different scheme. I want someone that runs something different. Find me someone that has worked with Mike McDonald and runs that scheme. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a Wink Martindale who's going to blitz you till the cows come home.
I just want somebody that gives the Shanahan system the finger.
Yes. So if I'm saying that, Doc, and Dan Quinn's a defensive head coach, and he's not going to be running his defense if I'm asking for somebody new, then what exactly do you do here?
Well, I think he's the best coach on your staff, personally. I think he's the best individual coach. I think he has a gift beyond anyone's ability to communicate, get people to trust him, and play their butt off for him. So why isn't he coaching people? I don't understand that, but that's his decision. I respect it.
Do you think if he keeps play calling and basically assumes the defensive coordinator position, they'll hire someone in that role to assist alongside him. But if he keeps that role as the defensive coordinator, is this defense better next year? They're going to have to put resources into it.
Yeah, well, I would think so. I think anything that he's involved in, if he's got, because has that effect on people. They want to succeed for him. They want to please him. People are not going to just sabotage him. And I believe that. It's just like Joe Gibbs is an offensive guy. He didn't give a damn about you thinking that he couldn't run a defense. He wasn't interested in that. He got somebody he could. He trusted Pettibone.
Yeah.
So, because he knew what his gift was. For him not to have done his thing and been in offense and run everything, it would have been insane. Because that's his gift. People have that gift, should be doing it. I could never imagine Joe not involved in the schematics or whatever. No. But let DQ do whatever the hell he wants to do. But just be responsible for the outcome. You don't get a pass. You can't get – you're responsible for the outcome. This outcome was terrible.
What did you make of the reporting and stuff coming out from the Christmas game that the Turpin touchdown was given up, the long one, and Quan Martin got benched the rest of the game for it?
Hallelujah. There's consequences for failure.
Thank you.
If they're not, what the hell are we doing? This is not Little League. This is not Pop Warner. You know what I mean? You don't get all the kids get a drink, you know, no matter what.
Yes.
That ain't the world we're living in right now.
Preach.
This is winner take all. Okay, loser walks home. So, okay, if it's 2.5 mile radius, we'll give you a ride. Anything under 2 miles, you walk. And I guess that offended people that they took him out.
No, it should not.
Well,
if you screw up in professional sports, you have to be held accountable.
All week. Everybody's got a laptop. That's all they do is practice, watch film, got a laptop, have meetings. That's all. That's your profession. And you get in the game. And by the way, did I say he's the fastest man in the league? That's like Bob Hayes running by somebody. They go, man, I didn't know he was that fast. What the hell were you doing all week? So some coach should also be docked.
Yes.
Whoever coaches that position, Slim, you don't eat with us. Bring your own food. So you know my deal. If the chow line would be cut down if we don't win, you bring your own stuff. I'm not feeding you if we don't win. You think it's funny, right?
No.
We didn't get food. Okay, I know it's primitive time. All these great restaurants at the time that would come out and serve us. All the things we got, we didn't get them when we lost. We got them when we won. 14-2. What? It doesn't matter how much money a person has. We're incentive-based as competitive human beings. Once you fail to have the ability to connect with me, you lose me.
Yeah, I mean, if you learn that you can give mediocre effort and it still gets the job done, even if it's not well, and you're not going to be held accountable,
not happening.
You're going to give a mediocre effort.
Not happening.
And you're going to find the line at which you can give the least amount of
effort. That country club thing they got going over there, man, I'd have been busted that thing up. No, man, we don't operate that way. Bring your own.
Welcome back to the program. We would like to invite our esteemed producer and left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, Christian Darius Dameron, Christian Darisaw Dameron, onto the program. Darius, how are you, first of all? Happy New Year to you, sir.
Hello, Darius.
Yes, gentlemen, Happy New Year. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So the thing we wanted to do is play a little buy or sell. We're doing some stocks. So if you don't know, the way this works is if – a stock is overvalued. If it's overhyped, you go, you know what? I probably want to sell that because I don't think it's going to get much better. If a stock is undervalued, you want to buy it because the value is going to go up, right? Everybody with me on that?
For sure.
So if you think there's more in the tank, you're buying. If you don't, you're probably selling. Maybe cut your losses, et cetera. That's how we play the game. We'll alternate who goes first and why. Darius has a list of young players here that we're going to buy and sell stock in. Darius, player of the first, please.
Let's start with the first round pick of the 2025 Washington Commanders draft class. That would be right tackle Josh Connerly. Buy or sell.
Yeah, I am buying stock of Josh Connerly
because
it's not very expensive right now. Jay Gruden came on our show, as he does every Monday after Washington plays foosball, and basically, it wasn't being cruel or anything, but said in his evaluation, Connerly's not been particularly good this year and, you know, wasn't very bullish maybe on his outlook as a player and said, you know, he's among the worst right tackles in football at this point, et cetera, et cetera. They've been patient, and David Aldridge kind of addressed this early on. Out of the gate, he had a set of assignments, as you're going to have in this league, for a veteran right tackle, let alone a neophyte that's just learning the position. There's too much there for me not to think, how many negatives did I use right there? There's too much skill, too much athleticism, too much raw mold of clay for me not to think that guy's going to be really good one day. I don't think he is yet. I think he has gone through growing pains. I think he's been up and down. There's some false starts. There's some holds here and there. I think that happens. That's part of the position. When you're on an island, some of the best pass rushers happen to be on that side now. That's kind of the trend. But I'm buying stock that Josh Connerly is a good right tackle. Maybe not a star, but a good right tackle in the future. I'm buying
stock in that as well, for all the reasons that you just mentioned. I think the biggest thing that he's got to work on this offseason, get a little heavier in the britches so he can anchor versus power rushers. My big question with him is how long is he a right tackle? Are they just going to uproot him in the middle of his career when Laremy Tunsil hangs it up and go, hey, buddy, you're now the left tackle. We expect you to transition there flawlessly. If they expect him to do that, I think he'll struggle initially on the left side, just like he struggled initially on the right side. But overall, to your point, 100% buying stock.
Let's start with, let's keep it on the offensive side, actually. Let's go with tight end Ben Sinnott, buy or sell.
This one's tough. You listed him as
a stock either way.
Yeah, you listed him as a tight end. I think he's a fullback. For that reason, I'm going to sell stock in Ben Sinnott. It's tough because I think when he was drafted, there were these high expectations that he was going to be the pass-catching tight end of the future for this organization. He's just not that. I think he'll have a long career. I think he's a tough football player. I love him as a, quote, move blocker. Their calculation at the position, though, doesn't make a whole lot of sense because maybe people are going to say I'm over-exaggerating, but I watch, so just trust my opinion, right? He's just as good of a blocker, in my opinion. Maybe not exactly the same, but as John Bates. I think there's something there with him as a blocker, yet they brought back John Bates and Zach Ertz. I didn't understand that move this offseason, but kind of selling my stock in Ben Sinnott because he just hasn't shown me anything yet.
I'm selling. And what I see looks pretty good.
Yeah.
They don't see it. The same people – now, I know this Adam Peters. The reason we had expectations for him was because Adam Peters said he's one part George Kittle, one part Kyle Juszczyk. So I was waiting for that. He's the backup blocking tight end at this point. They don't think he can do it. Otherwise, they would have had him do it. So if they don't believe it, why should I? I'm frustrated because every time that guy's got the ball in his hands, he looks explosive. He looks big, strong, fast, tough. All the things – not all the things, but some of the things you want in a tight end.
Right.
He doesn't have Zach Ertz's footwork, but who does? Ertz is a circus bear at this age, right, where he's tap dancing all over the place. He couldn't run away from me.
Yeah.
But, by God, he'll get open using footwork and route running and leverage and all sorts of smart stuff.
Would you call him a circus bear?
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, you know, dancing circus bear. Like, you know, he's balancing the ball. He's on the unicycle.
I dig it.
He can do that sort of thing, short area quickness. But, you know, he can't run away from everybody. He's a catch and fall guy at this point. Sinnott doesn't have that. He's a different tight end, different player. There's a skill set, though, for somebody that they'd go, yeah, we could use that. It doesn't seem to be in the cards for them. I've given up asking about it because there's no better opportunity than, I don't know, right now this second to feature him at least a little bit, and they won't do it, so I'm forced to sell.
Yeah.
Stuff. He a Hokie, Jalen Lane, wide receiver, buy or sell?
I'm going to reluctantly buy here. Now, as a returner, yes, I think that's bona fide. We got something.
Yeah.
As a receiver, me is kind of what we're talking about. I think he steps into a kind of sort of a almost Olamide Zaccheaus role next year. Is that worth owning?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost me very much, so that's fine. I'll buy it, but it's not something I think he's going to be featured. I think that room gets an overhaul. Well, let me rephrase. I'm begging and praying and hoping that room gets an overhaul, and he'll be, I don't want to say odd man out.
Yeah.
He'll be there because he can return kicks and he's got some quicks, and you'll have him, you know, doing some slot stuff, short area. But to me, it's a very tepid buy.
Great minds think alike. I'm also going to, love how you put it, reluctantly buy the stock. Love him as a returner, as you mentioned. I'm baffled, though, that they did not find more ways to get him the football offensively. When you lack the speed, the team speed that Washington does on the offensive side of the ball, you find ways to get Jalen Lane the football, and they just didn't. I know there's a lot of nuance to the wide receiver position, learning inside and out. Can you block? Are you a good route runner? So on and so forth. I think he runs routes well. He doesn't catch it very well, and that's a pretty big skill that's needed for the job. I think next year, I beg, like you said, one, that they overhaul the room, but he should be your deep threat. Like, I wouldn't feel the need to go out big game hunting for a deep threat this offseason because I drafted one. Let's put our picks to the test, so to speak.
The other offensive player that remains would be the running back who joins us every Tuesday on Grant and Danny Show at 5 o'clock, Bill Kroski Merritt, buy or sell?
Oh, I'm buying it. It is the richest stock that Washington has right now, maybe on this football team, in terms of, like, young offensive players, not named Jaden Daniels. Like, he is the guy. I think we had this conversation last week, myself and Grant. He does everything well. He's the home run hitter. I still would be interested, though, in bringing in competition and somebody to pair with him in tandem. The biggest thing for him that I want to see improve, pass blocking, obviously, protect the football. He's got to get a little stronger for me as well. I feel like he's a guy that could definitely benefit from a year, a full offseason in an NFL strength and conditioning program. But Bill's got it, man. I love everything about him.
I think I'm going to sell this.
Huh.
And it's not because I don't like Bill. I like him a lot. I think We do this with running backs sometimes. Mm-hmm. We put Darius Geis in the Hall of Fame because he had a good game against Carolina when both running backs ran for over 100 yards.
Yeah.
And he was good in the preseason one time. We put the cart before the horse on these type dudes, right? And I like Bill. He's the best guy out of that backfield with the football in his hands.
Right.
Okay? They don't throw him any passes at any point in time. They don't seem interested in doing that. He's improved in pass pro, but it took Chris Rodriguez basically puking before the game for them to go, fine, we'll give you double-digit carries.
Yeah.
This isn't my evaluation of Bill. It's theirs. I keep coming back to this. I understand you don't want to give him 20 carries a game. He didn't play football but for one game last year because of an eligibility thing, which is stupid. Good job, NCAA. But it just seems like they didn't want to do this on a regular basis. Right? And I don't know why. He was good. He's good with the ball in his hands. They don't trust him necessarily. Maybe some of the advanced passing game stuff. You got Ed McNichols do that. Okay, fine. Well, where was he on first and second down? If Chris Rodriguez was available, he's only getting four touches, not getting in a rhythm. That's my frustration. So I'm selling, not because I don't believe in the player. I do. Every time he's got something on his plate, he's eating it. Let's put more on the plate. That's where I'm at.
Moving to the interior, let's go with Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois.
I'm selling this one. Again, he played really well, it seemed to me, the other day. Had his counting stats finally happen against Dallas. But it's the same deal where you're getting out-snapped by Sheldon Day. You're getting out-snapped by Eddie Goldman. You're getting out-snapped by Preston Smith. I know it's not the same position, but it's indicative. They didn't believe in him to play him more regularly. I think maybe at some point, if he – you mentioned this with Josh Connerly, Linnell, if he gets a little bit more stout – on the bottom half, took us in on down to maybe be more solid in the run game, but that's not who he is. He is a disruptive, penetrating, bothering, in the mold of a John Randall defensive tackle than he is necessarily a smart car type guy that's, you know, not moving anywhere at any point in time. I think there's value in that. That's not the paradigm they went with this offseason, so we became kind of an afterthought after they used a second-round pick on him, basically saying we were lucky to get him. It was only because of a foot injury. Otherwise, he's a first-rounder. I never really believed in the player, to be honest with you. I know it sounds really harsh. I just kind of never saw it. I've never really understood the infatuation and the hype. I look like a jackass the other day when he's knifing.
Well, I don't think he did.
Knocking people down. And look, he looked awesome.
Yeah.
And you're going, okay, well, could we do that, I don't know, two other times over the course of a season? But I'm selling here because I think he's at his high point now. I don't think we see what we just saw again.
I'm going to sell as well. Bear with me on the analogy. You have kids. When your child took their first steps, you didn't assume that all of a sudden, like, you were breeding the next great, like, shortstop in Major League Baseball. It was just a part of the process. You're a human. You learn how to walk. That's how I feel about Jazon Newton and what he did on Netflix versus the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, he got a couple of sacks. I'm pulling up the number here. The average time to sack Danny Rudiay was, I think it was like 5.2 seconds. So he was the beneficiary of a bunch of coverage sacks. I do not buy any stock into what he did. He would be somebody that would be on the fringe of being cut next year, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't know his value. And everyone wants to say he's this great situational pass rusher. Well, why aren't they using him more in situational pass rush spots? I don't get the hype with Jazon Newton. And it's crazy because Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, I think the double foot surgery zapped all the juice away from him. And, like, he's no longer going to be able to be a good football player. So it's tough. I feel for him, but selling.
A pair of Washington cornerbacks. We will start with the youngest one, which will be Trey Amos. Buy or sell?
I'm buying low. Here's the thing about Trey Amos, right? Looked good this year at times against mediocre wide receivers. We didn't see him a bunch because he ended up getting hurt. I still feel like I just don't know what I have there, right? Like, if you were asking me my comfort level, Danny, and going into next year with Trey Amos and Mikey Samuels still as your outside corner duo, I would say, we can't do better. Can't do better than that. Like, that's not – I don't know, man. They're in between a rock and a hard place when it comes to that spot. Him getting hurt was one of the bigger developments of the year that we didn't really talk about enough. It stinks that you really don't know what you have in him. You're obviously going to rely on your – you know, what you saw in camp and so on and so forth, but – I'm going to buy it, but I still don't know if I have a legitimate number one corner.
I'm buying. I think he's a dude.
Yeah.
And part of this is my own desperation to be right about something, and I fully acknowledge that. This is confirmation. But I see enough of those moments, enough of those flashes where, no, he's not the tiny, super swivelly, explosive corner that's going to stay with people down the field tremendously well. What he is a big physical, maul you, hands on you, kind of modern sort of, you know, I don't want to say Richard Sherman, that to evoke that name,
easy.
But Legion of Boom style corner that's you'll notice who the coach happens to be, right?
He's the prototype.
To me, I look for that. I look for the bigger bodied, longer arm. Again, he's not winning as many races as some of the other dudes, mm-hmm. but I feel like in this system, in this scheme, he could be that guy. If they go get Al Harris, the guy that he's the interception whisperer, wherever he shows up to lead the league in picks, he could be a dude that we're now talking about as having that leap, that kind of renaissance.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in Trey Amos. I think he's just scratching the surface here. I think he could be really, really good. So normally when you go, I can't believe he's available in the second round, they got a steal, I roll my eyes with this organization.
Yeah.
This time I actually buy that.
Huh.
And I know maybe that's fool's gold and I'm talking myself into something, but I'm a believer in Trey Amos.
And the last player would be the guy opposite of Trey Amos, Mikey Sainristil, by herself.
So I thought I was going to be alone on this, and I can think I can predict where you're going to go.
Yeah.
I'm selling. This is the only guy that doesn't fit their athletic profile.
Yeah.
Okay? If you go back and look at their the compilation of raw athletic scores, the RAS scores, Washington has a type. And that, by the way, I don't mind that. I'm good with that. They want captains and guys that are off the charts in these RAS scores. Sainristil was not. He's the guy that's going to be the mayor of any city that he's in. Great dude, tough as nails, good competitor. I think this is it. And I'm okay with that. But if we're talking about buying stock,
right?
I don't see a lot of upside here. I think
kind
we're
of
at
is what
it.
He is.
We're kind of a slot, not really. Kind of an outside, fine. But on a good defense, you could have the versatility of, let's say for the sake of argument, this guy that he's covering is going in motion. Now they're in a stack kind of in the slot. You're not panicking because he's in there. He's not going to do the job great in there, but you don't have to totally adjust everything and have a complicated call to compensate for it. I think he's solid. I think he's fine. I think I like him more than you do, and I'll tag you in here in a second. But I'm not buying that there's a ton of upside, and that's what kind of this buyer-sell situation is. I'm selling. I like Mikey Sainristil, but I think this is kind of it.
You ready? I'm going to make my decision right here on the spot because I've been thinking about it ever since. I saw the rundown earlier. I've been looking at it since last night. This is the one that I'm torn on, Danny. His ball skills, you can't coach that. Like, that is an innate ability that he has to play the ball in the air really well. He does it better than any DB that Washington has right now. But like you said, he's kind of a slot, but he's not. He's kind of an outside guy, but he's not. I think he lacks the physical tools from both a speed standpoint and a height standpoint, like length and all that, to be a starting NFL corner. Like, I genuinely have my questions about that. But I will say this, every corner, and you know this, Danny, as well as anybody, every corner looks better when they have to cover for a shorter period of time. If we could ever get a pass rush, he's the guy that could potentially have the 6-7 interception year. I just don't know if – this has been like five times on the show.
People don't realize how
I'm
much
walking
do it.
Right into
you're just people. I'm telling you, having kids has made me. I'm a head on a swivel all the time. If you can't see it, I'm on the YouTube stream.
Yeah,
Linnell, speaking normally as people do, he's like, maybe he'll have 6-7 intercept. And as soon as I hear that 6-7, I got to do the bit with my hands because I have children.
But to wrap this up here, I just don't know if he has the physical tools to be a starting corner in this league. I think if he's your first corner off the bench, you're in really good shape. Like, tremendous shape. That's how I feel about him.
About what you're selling there.
Yeah.
Darius, appreciate you, dude. That was a good job of buy or sell talking.
That was awesome.
Stonks here with the young Washington 53. A major phenomenon just wrapped up. One of the cultural touchstones, one of the seminal shows that I really believe shot a streaming platform to the front of the line, to the top of the table, to be essential for all of our entertainment hubs. Kind of the first-stop shop, the first place we go now when talking about new programs, movies, and otherwise. I really think this show, not I would say put these guys on the map. They were already on the map, very much so. But a show with no promotion and no buzz turned into a global phenomenon. I've got some of the numbers for you. We'll tell you about what it is. It just wrapped up. I'll give you some of my thoughts on that, and we'll ask you guys, what else is kind of close to this in terms of cultural phenomenon from one of the great shows of all time? It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan, live from Caddies on Cordell. Linnell filling in for GP. One of the great shows ever wrapped up here within the last couple days. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.